Scott Williams Show continues
on Dublin's Q102.
Have your say. Call 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cent.
850-6597 on the phone or 57102 for just 20 cent on the text. So if you have a computer, phone, car, in fact, any consumer good problem, any consumer issue whatsoever, now is your chance to get it sorted. Judy Dunn from the Consumers Association is here in studio. You're very welcome again, Judy.
Hi, Scott. Great
now,
to be here.
Now, McDonald's asked customers to return 12 million glasses, which were emblazoned with the character Shrek. They warned Kellogg's warned consumers to stop eating 28 million boxes of Fruit Loops and other cereals. Campbell Soup asked the public to return 15 million pounds of SpaghettiOs, and seven companies recalled 2 million Cribs. And that was just a fraction of the products that were recalled in the States in just 1 month last year. Government regulators, retailers, manufacturers and consumer experts are concerned that recall notices have become so frequent across a range of goods, food, consumer products, cars, etc., that we're suffering from recall fatigue. And you go, oh, whatever. In many cases, people simply ignore urgent calls to destroy or return defective goods. Now, one recent study found that 12% of people, that's one in eight, who knew that they had recalled food at home, ate it anyway and lived to tell the tale. I'm sort of quite a cynic about this. I think the recall things, just to be sure.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, some of it is all right. Jeff Farrer is Associate Commissioner for Food Protection at the Food and Drug Administration in the States. He said it's a real issue. And he said even his wife had complained about the difficulty of keeping pace with recalls. The number is steadily going up. It's difficult for us to get the word out with oversaturating customers. Problem apparently is twofold. Some people never learn that a product they own is being recalled, and others know they have a recalled product, but don't think that anything bad will happen. Recalls. We'll talk to Judy about this in a little more detail in a sec, but we were curious about this, about recalls. So do you care or pay attention to any product recalled at all? That's what we were wondering.
Yeah, be very aware, particularly children's toys or children's items like pushchair, something like that, and medicines. Yeah.
Product recalls, not really, not from supermarkets or shoppings, but maybe from medicine like chemists or pharmacists or stuff like that will maybe harm your health or anything. Maybe, yeah, but not generally not as a real matter.
Not unless it's something pharmaceutical that's always advertised on the news or on the front page of a paper. Unless it's in my face, no, I wouldn't see it. And yes, they should be advertised more if there's a fault.
Not at all, no. I ignore it, really. Wouldn't pay attention whatsoever to it.
No, I don't pay attention at all, but I think it should be more publicised how that is going to change the way you're going to purchase your products.
What do you think? Let us know on the text.
The Scott Williams Show. Text 57102 for 20 cents. Or call 01-850-6597.
What would you advise in that case, Judy? I mean, are product recalls made for good reason or are they sometimes made for silly reasons?
Oh, I think the majority of them are made for very good reasons. I mean, they are trying to... There is a safety issue with the product. It may be a minuscule problem, but it is there. I mean, and they are there to...
I just wonder, you see, sometimes it's just somebody covering their you-know-what.
Well, it is an element of that, as in if they kept it, knowingly had a fault and they kept it on the market, the comeback, a bit like, remember the Toyota car, the Nissan car in America, where
they knew
a couple of years ago that there was an ongoing problem. And
one chance in 10 million. Yeah.
But all you need is one person to sue you and your company could be destroyed.
So how do you, are you advising people to sort of, Pay heed.
Well, just watch. You will notice if you shop regularly in a regular supermarket, you will see the signs up on the windows.
Someone wants your microwave back or something. I mean, or your car.
Well,
it's
hassle,
Judy.
It is hassle. Yeah. It is hassle. And in some cases, you are entitled to compensation depending on the nature of the problem that's been, or the reason it's being called for. But it is important to pay attention because if you do ignore it, the problem develops 5 years down the line.
Right.
You could be in trouble. But, I mean, just keep an eye out. If people really want to know, that the RAPEX is the European Commission website or European Commission organisation responsible for coordinating
this. What's that web address?
Or APEX. Now, if they go onto our website, www.thecai.ie, we have a link to that site.
So if you go
and
to
you
the,
can get the list. I mean, in September alone, there were 10 products listed in Ireland that were recalled.
Okay, so the cai.ie, you'll find a link to RAPEX or the people who deal with recalls. Judy's advice is...
Yeah. Oh, it's important to know.
And one last question then, about letting people know. I mean, if they put ads in the papers or they put ads on the radio or wherever it might be, is that the manufacturer doing enough to let you know? What if you don't hear the ad or see the ad?
The ad. No, they should do more. I mean, in a lot of cases, when you buy a product, you have to sign up to the guarantee, the warranty. They make you fill in this form before you get it. I mean, they have your details. So in a lot of cases, it depends on how many they're recalling. Like, if they're recalling something worldwide, it is impossible to contact everybody.
Right.
But they should make every effort to contact the consumers involved.
Directly. Oh, okay. Anyway, 850-6597 is the number if you have a consumer query. That's why Judy's here. And with us all the way, Liz in Dublin 15. Hello, Liz.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
This is Liz with the Clio.
It is indeed, yeah.
The steamed up headlamp.
Yeah, I got back in touch with them. I got back in touch with them last week, like you said, and they're just washing their hands of it because the garage is shut. They said there's nothing they can do.
All right, this is Dermot has been across this, and he advised Liz to go back and have one last crack at Renault.
And you're getting no joy with them at all.
If you've heard the word crack, it's a crack in her light.
They've no record of the headlamp ever being taken back for that problem. Yeah.
And how old is the car?
09.
09.
Yeah.
And you're having no joy. Do you know from a garage how much it would cost you to
480. Get
480.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'd be no harm going to small claims court and listing Renault as the claimant at this stage. You've nothing to lose.
Right.
You've exhausted every other opportunity. The garage is closed, so you can't have recourse to them. And the manufacturer is ignoring you. And they should have a list of I would have thought, any checks done on a new car.
They said they just did it out of goodwill. That's what they said anyway.
Out of goodwill.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, I mean, you've got a price for the cost it'll take. You go to the small claims court and list Renault and see what happens.
Okay, you're very good. Thanks very much.
All right, Liz.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Sorry we couldn't help her more, but sometimes that's the way these things work out. The small claims court, remember, more details at courts.ie is where you find the details should you need to talk to the people at the small claims court. Siobhan is next up. Hello, Siobhan.
Hello, how are you?
Hi. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking, Pat was on about his wooden arbor that had been delivered damaged, and Dermot suggested he rang the supplier. Siobhan rang the supplier on behalf of Pat, Judy, who gave her a million excuses and suggested that she contact the delivery firm and that any future communication should be via email. So the view we were taking at the time of Dermot was, if something arrives broken, the problem is between the supplier who gave it to the postman rather than between Siobhan and our brother. Anyway, so how did that go, Siobhan? Well, what did they say to you?
He didn't reply to the email.
Uh-huh.
And so I contacted him by phone. And his answer machine, he just say he gives top priority to his email, so I thought I'd email him again and didn't get anything. So I spoke to him then in person, and he said that because I had mentioned that in my email that I was going to go on to Q102, that he was advised by his solicitor not to contact me again.
Oh, great.
By email or any other way.
Or any other manner.
And was it bought directly from this gentleman in question, or was there...
I actually Googled and found him on a website, and then when I spoke to him on the phone... He asked me to send a postal order, have the postal order ready for collection when the arbor was delivered to my brother's house, which I did do. But I spoke to him over the phone.
So this was all done via phone. It was never direct. No one physically saw the product.
Where is he based?
Pardon?
Siobhan, where is he based?
In Tipperary.
In Tipperary. Right. So we're not dealing with a UK company.
No. I mean, even if the product wasn't faulty, you still have the right to reject it if it arrived.
It did.
Because it was a distance selling contract. I mean, he is disobeying every law going out there with regard to this. I mean, I would tell him you've been advised by the Consumers Association and Scott Williams that you will take it further. And I mean, unfortunately, like the last caller, it may be the small claims court is your only recourse.
Yes, well, actually, that's where I'm at the moment, because he said he told me to contact my solicitor. But he would stand by me in court, he said. And
decent of him.
I wouldn't use the expense of a solicitor. I would just go onto the courts.ie website and get all the forms and details for small claims court.
That's great for you that this guy's going to stand right beside you in court, Siobhan. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I feel so comfortable about that.
Yeah, you should do.
he can really talk the talk, you know.
And did you explain to him that he is a problem with the people he contracted to deliver the stuff to your brother?
Oh, yes, but he said, can you not see that I am not the one that's at fault here? I told him that my contract was with him.
Correct.
And he said, can you not see that I'm not the one at fault here? It was the delivery guy. and I need to contact the delivery company.
I mean, even with his thought of talking to a solicitor, he's probably going to waste more on a solicitor.
Small claims court.
Than he's going to, than it's the cost of the item.
Yes, well, I actually went online to check out, to download
the form,
the form. And apparently I have to do it through Tipperary because that's where he is based.
Where he is based, yes.
Yes, but as I don't have his company address, I only have his own address.
Well, you put down as much information as you have, contact number, whatever, so the registrar can get in contact with him. It's just whatever means you have, email, put his email down, put his contact number down, any address you have from, put on the form. Don't send any original documentation to the registrar. Just let them know if you have receipts and things like that.
I have absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It was done over the phone.
But that's what I'm saying. Just put down as much information as you have so the registrar, when they get the form, can contact him.
Okay.
All right.
That's great. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, Siobhan.
All right.
Let us know how you get on. Bye-bye. Just following up on a few here that we'll be dealing with Dermot recent weeks. 8506597 is the number. You're on the Scott Williams Show on Dublin's Q102. And we're doing consumer queries, and Judy Dunn from the Consumer Association of Ireland is here with me. And Michelle should be here now. Hello, Michelle.
How you doing?
Hey. Now, Michelle got a package with Vodafone 2 years ago, which was for unlimited mobile broadband access, Judy. She'd been having problems with it slowing down, so she called them, and they've said they no longer do the unlimited. But they never let you know that, is that it?
That's right.
Yeah. And when you say slowing down, is it sort of just slower and slower and slower when you're downloading on the internet?
Yeah, it's just not letting you. It's taken so long you wouldn't even bother to try and do it.
Throttling is what it's called, isn't it?
Sorry?
Judy, throttling. Throttling, the connection.
What package do they have you on now then?
The package that I was on was unlimited access.
Mm.
And on the 29th of August, my computer started going slow. So I had contacted them about that, and they had said that I had reached, you know, I think it was 11 gigabytes, and they had to slow it down, that my limit was 15 gigabytes. So I was explaining to them that the package I had is unlimited access. So how do they make that out, that I'm only entitled to 15 gigabytes? You know, if I'm paying for unlimited access.
Is that a fair use policy?
It might be a fair use policy, but I mean, if you've used this, if you've downloaded a similar amount in previous months and this problem hadn't occurred, I mean, in your contract, do they give you a limit at all on it?
Unlimited access.
Mm. And you have downloaded that amount or greater in previous months without any problem?
Yeah. And what had happened was, when I did contact them on the August, the 29th of August, they had just said it was because I had reached 10 gigabytes and it would be back to normal on the 7th of September. So that came back to normal on the 7th of September. Then on the 23rd of September, the same thing happened again. So when I had contacted them and they put me onto numerous different people on the phone, they then informed me that they no longer do the unlimited access package anymore. But I hadn't been notified of that.
So they never withdrew it from the market, really, is the problem, Judy.
Yeah. And so they've actually put a limit now on it, on it without telling you. And they have your email, I assume, and they have other methods of contacting
Michelle
you.
So what should Michelle do?
Yeah.
What should she do?
I think you need to get a copy of your original contract from them. Whatever you signed up to, and go through it to make sure there was no clause in it somewhere that said they could automatically change this, you know, at the drop of a hat. Just double check that. And if you're sure of that, I would then take the complaint to Comreg that they have altered your contract. But pursue it through them first, as far as you can. Get a copy of your original contract and just make sure there's no clause in it that said, I mean, we reserve the right to, change our policy or change our plan in the future.
Yeah.
Just double check that and then pursue it through them, saying, look, and even if the clause is there, I would still pursue it, saying, look, it's not on a, you know, you should have been notified, an email, text, something.
A phone call, right?
A phone call.
They said
a letter.
They had informed people that they were no longer doing this package, and they said that this happened going back in November. Now, I still get my bills, and on my bills it's written, mobile broadband unlimited.
Yeah. Well, that's what you need to do now, Michelle. Go back to Vodafone first. If you're not getting satisfaction there, it's Comreg.
There's Comreg after that, but you need to pursue it all the way through Vodafone first.
Okay.
Okay, no problem.
All right,
thanks,
Michelle.
Thank you very much for taking the call. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, Michelle there in Tala, trouble to broadband, 8506597. More broadband problems. David's in Maynooth. Hello, David.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Good.
Hi, David.
Now, David's in touch with us this week via email. Now, you were having problems leaving UTV broadband, is that right?
Well, yeah, in the sense that, like most companies, you have to give 30 days' notice, which was fine, and I rang them last Friday, And then the girl told me there was a cancellation fee of $29.99,
right.
Even though my contract had actually expired April this year. So I queried it, and she was absolutely adamant that it would have to be paid.
Was it in your contract, a cancellation charge?
Well, I'm with them since 2006, and I'll be honest with you, I can't recall ever seeing it.
Mm. But again, like I said, you should ask for a copy of the original contract to see if it was in it.
Now, well, we've actually got David off the hook. We were on to UTV Internet broadband people ourselves.
Okay.
And they're going to waive your cancellation charge, I understand, David.
Yeah, that's right. I received a call off them this morning.
Yes.
I was quite surprised. I didn't know you were away in the background, Scott.
Oh, that's it. So there's no rest for us here, you know?
Oh, absolutely not. So it's worked out in the end, but I think people should just maybe be a small bit wary.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as Judy and indeed Dermot always says, read your contract.
Read your contract, and if the only clause you ever read in the contract is the cancellation part of it, how do I get out of this if anything happens?
Well, anyway, David has sorted, and we're happy to help out, David, and better luck, okay?
Thanks, Scott.
All the best now. Bye-bye.
See you now. Bye.
So, yeah, we got that one sorted. That was a cancellation shirt because it was kind of an interesting one, you know, for us to actually have a look into. Now, can you help me? I placed an order on Muji.co.uk on 30th September, total £50.90. On the 15th, I noticed my credit card had been charged twice, so I emailed them requesting a refund. They replied saying I would have a refund somewhere between 2 and 10 days' time. When the refund didn't appear after 10 days, I emailed them again and they said it would appear shortly. I still haven't received the refund, and of course now it's the 3rd of October. I emailed them again this morning, asking if my order had actually been dispatched, I hadn't received it, or a confirmation email that it had been shipped. I asked them to cancel the order and refund my card if it hadn't been shipped. Then this afternoon I received an email saying my order had been dispatched. I've emailed them again saying that I cancelled the order and requested that my card be refunded. I'm furious. They have over £101.80 belonging to me. How do I get it back, ask Maeve?
Well, there's two things. If the order is in transit, the minute it comes, you just send it back. I mean, that would be the same even if you weren't disputing the debit on the credit card. It's an online transaction. You have up to 7 days to return the item. With regard to the debits, I mean, I'd give them one final attempt to rectify and refund the money. If not, I would contact your credit card company and dispute the transaction.
Section 14?
Yeah. But you do have to pursue it with the company and tell them that's the route you're going.
Yeah. That's the Sale of Goods and Supply Services Act of 1980, Maeve, and it's Section 14, but you have to give the company one last try.
Yeah.
Okay, best of luck with that, Maeve. If I pay an admission fee to a nightclub and I leave within 10 minutes because I don't like the surrounding or the atmosphere, am I legally entitled to a refund? The nightclub told me I wasn't, and I'd like to be able to quote the law regarding this matter when I contact the club in question.
No, unfortunately. No, unless they'd advertise someone was going to be there and it isn't there, or advertise something, price of a drink, and it was different. I mean, they haven't broken their contract. The fact that you didn't like the place when you got into it isn't really
a gap in the market. The first 10 minutes free,
free and or something
and
like
walks
that.
Around and walks out.
Walks
again.
Out.
Yeah, another one then. These ATM machines. What is the position if an error happens in an ATM, Judy? Now, what I'm thinking about specifically is you put card in, you request to take money out, you have the money in your account, and everything's fine. And the money, the card comes out first, and then you're told to, you know, stand by while cash is being dispensed. Then so you take the card, you put the card into your wallet, your bag, whatever, and you're waiting for the money to come out. And just as you put your hand down to get the money, the machine sucks it back in again.
You need to contact your own bank first with your card and notify them of where it took place and when it took place and the time it took place and let them know. And they have to contact, well, let's say, for example, your bank is AIB and it was a Bank of Ireland machine. You have to contact your bank. And they notified Bank of Ireland or whoever's machine you used of the date and time and said, look, can you look into this?
Look into this.
Yeah, yeah.
And are those machines balanced up once a week or something?
They are balanced
up. So
it should show up.
Yeah.
It should show up.
Right. Have you ever heard of this before?
I have heard of this before, yeah. Ideally, you know, if you did get a receipt, it actually gives you the machine number on it.
Yeah.
If the receipt came out, it does have a machine number on it.
Yeah, but what if you were one of these eco-friendly people who doesn't ask for a receipt?
No, but then just note the location, as much detail, as much of the time as you can remember. You know, because someone could have used it before or after you.
Yeah.
As well. But, I mean, you need to contact your bank and let them do it. Interbank to the other bank. Yeah.
I have intimate knowledge of this case because it was actually me. I couldn't believe it. I mean, you just put your hand down and the machine starts eating your money. Yeah. And you're afraid to push in case you tear and then back in again. Yeah.
And some of them I know are timed, that if people, obviously for robbery, that if people don't take them quick enough, but that seems a bit excessive.
Yeah, it's like, and the guy in the store, it was in a shop, the ATM was in a shop, and he said once a week he balances up the machine. He said, come back next Saturday. So
I'd contact your bank because they would have the record, because it technically came out of your account.
Oh, it did.
So they would have debited the money out of your account. So let them contact Bank of Ireland, and they in turn, the retailer, whoever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So the bank deals with it anyway. Okay, it's 850-6597 on the phone, and we should be able to go and speak to Jane in Fingus. Hello, Jane.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Now, Jane bought a pair of runners for her son that didn't fit properly, Judy.
Okay.
However, it wasn't within the 7 days, but they didn't say when they sold her the shoes that they had changed from a 21-day policy to a 7-day policy. They said that she should have checked her receipt. They won't give her money back, and they don't have the shoes to fit her son, as he's a half size, and they don't do halves. So is that where it still sits, Jane, is it?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And have
I contacted the helpline in England, and I just explained the case to her, and she says, well, it was written up in the shop that I should have seen in the shop. And I said, no, it wasn't written where customers could see it. It was right at the back of the shop. She says, well, now I was in the front. And I said, well, it wasn't there when I bought the roofs. So yeah. She just said, well, there's nothing, like the policy has changed now.
Unfortunately, they are within their rights, because they're not breaking the law. It's their shop policy in terms of returns. They don't have to give any time frame to allow you return a goods, because wrong sized isn't deemed a fault. It'd be different if it was a faulty good. There's no time limit on bringing a faulty good back, but a wrong size isn't deemed a fault in a product. Would they give you a different size? Like, I mean, I know it sounds stupid. Maybe it sounds stupid. If you got a one size up, would he grow into them? Or
What I was saying to her, she said, well, it's up to you, but she said, like, you don't know if they'll fit, like, it could be over that size then again, so we don't know, you know?
I don't know. I think rather than be at a loss and get nothing for your money, I would go back and get whatever nearest size will fit him.
And bring the son with you.
Probably bring him with you, let him try them on and just get a replacement, because at the moment you've got no shoes and you're forked out.
Yeah, exactly.
For the money. Mm. So bring him back and just get the shoe size. Even if it's slightly bigger, he'd probably grow into it.
Could Jane get a pair of shoes for herself?
Oh, yeah, or yourself, yeah. I mean, get something that you know you'll use. I mean, if they're allowing you to exchange it for a size that fits someone.
Which they don't have to do.
No, unfortunately.
Jane.
But so I'd grab it while it's still available.
That, Jane?
Right.
They don't have to
do it. So grab it while it's available and go down and get some pair of shoes, because otherwise you're going to be at the loss.
So you get some back.
Completely.
No, I just thought you'd have to pull up in the shop to say that.
No, unfortunately they don't, because when it comes to exchanging a product, unless it's faulty, there's no law. It's a shop policy, and each shop can vary their own policy accordingly.
Yep.
Oh, that's grand. Okay. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Jane there in Fingus. We're at 850-6597. Judy Dunn from the Consumers Association here in studio. Ready, willing and able she is, with expert advice on your consumer problems.
Dublin's Q102.
The Scott Williams Show.
The way it is in Dublin.
Anne-Marie is in Tala. Hey, Anne-Marie.
Hello, how are you?
Ah, we're grand. Now, Anne-Marie's daughter went to Paris with her friend, Judy. Her daughter took out travel insurance and the other girl didn't. They arrived in Paris and they ended up having to spend another night more than they planned because of the ash cloud. Now, the daughter's friend has three young kids that they need to get home quickly, so Anne-Marie booked the ferry. However, so far, they haven't had any money back from said airline. What can we do?
What you need to do in this case is contact the French equivalent of the energy or the airline regulator. Now, you can do it through our airline regulator here.
They actually ended up having to stay an extra 4 days, to be honest, because we weren't sure what they were supposed to come home on a Saturday, and they couldn't actually travel. I couldn't actually get a boat until the Wednesday, you know.
Yeah.
Now we have our latest letters, and I mean my daughter has sent numerous letters to Aer Lingus, asking them for proof that the flight was cancelled so that she couldn't actually be reimbursed from the insurance.
Yeah.
And Aer Lingus have not cooperated at all sending any letters.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Sorry.
my daughter sent a letter on the 7th of August this year to the Commissioner for Aviation Regulations.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, she did receive a reply on the 24th of August.
Yeah.
And they said that she needs, that they have sent on the relevant complaints to the Director General in France.
Yeah.
Okay. and that they will also send on a letter to Aer Lingus requesting that they assist us in the claim, and that they would provide a letter, you know, asking them to provide her a letter for the cancellation of the flight. Now, that was on the 24th of August, and, I mean, you know, this is October now, and we still haven't received anything. And to be honest, I mean, you know, this has been going on over, well over a year, well, nearly a year now, you know.
It does drag on.
It does drag on. I would give the regulator a little bit more time. I mean, I know it's 24th of August. It's just slightly over a month. I mean, and they will have to wait for their colleagues in France to get back. But if you hadn't heard anything in the next week or so, either contact myself in the association's office and we'll see if we can follow it up.
What's the number in the office, Judy?
It's 497-8600.
497-8600, Anne-Marie.
Yeah.
Right. And in relation to, I mean, they've also sent a letter to Aer Lingus requesting Aer Lingus, which is an Irish company, to confirm about the cancellation. And we still haven't got that. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I give them another week and we'll try and follow up and see what we can do from our end.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Because, as I said, I can understand maybe a delay possibly with France
and all that. And has your daughter even tried Aer Lingus since have they received...
She's tried, I don't know how many
times, and they're not acknowledging.
They have copies of all the letters and emails and everything.
Yeah, and they're not doing anything.
And they're just not cooperating at all, you know.
Right, well, give it a bit more time.
Well, I give it only maybe another week. That'd be about a six-week period. And you can't really excuse it after that now.
Anne-Marie, you'll have the long arm of the CAI working on your behalf.
Great.
All right.
Appreciate that.
You take care, Anne-Marie. Bye-bye. Anne-Marie there in Tallinn. Thanks very much, Judy, for taking that one. Now, just by email, I have a query regarding a smartphone I recently purchased. The phone was bought in early August and it comes with the internet service. Well, it would. It's a smartphone. It worked fine where I live in County Meath. In recent weeks, I've moved to West Dublin and here I can barely get a signal at all. I can't use the internet facility on the phone at night time, nor can I make Skype calls, which is the main reason why I bought the phone. I'm running a business abroad. Other networks in my home work perfectly. I bought the phone on the 15th of August, so the usual 4-week return policy is obviously passed. Would I be within my consumer rights duty to demand a refund and get the contract cancelled, given that the product doesn't provide the service that it should? I'd like to know where I stand on this before going into the shop and asserting my rights. Thank you in advance, says John in Phibsborough.
It's a tricky one because the phone did provide the service when you were living in County Meath. Mm. It just seems to be the area he's in is having problems.
Well, now, I have a question, you see. I wonder, was that discussed with John at the time of purchase?
And things like that.
Did they
and
have a predictor thing for the areas?
And also, did he sign up to the contract at the same time he bought the phone? Does one pre-exist the other?
Don't know.
Yeah, so he needs to double check that. If he was tied into the contract before he bought the phone, he can check the terms and conditions, terms of cancelling.
Right.
But if the phone's not going back, you could even go back and ask them to change model or make and saying it's not providing the service you say it will.
Yeah.
It says I'm supposed to get the internet, I can't get it.
Yeah, we've had a few of these and you've had more of them in your time, Judy, is that it's actually the signal on the
spot. It's the signal spot, yeah. And maybe there might be a different model or better model out there. He should at least go back to the shop and say, look, explain the problem to them and see what they suggest. And then see how he goes from there. But they might offer him a different model. I mean, it was obvious it was working in County Meath, so it might be just the area. And if that's a problem...
If it works in Meath, I think it worked better in Dublin.
You would have thought there's not a huge difference, but it's a dip. I don't know these.
So go and check that out, John. Okay. Yeah. Hi there. In 2009, we purchased a Samsung flat screen telly. We declined the option of the extended guarantee and took just the manufacturer's 12-month warranty. Cost the telly €1,200. A few weeks ago, a shadow appeared on the screen. We contacted the shop and they arranged the TV to be collected by a repair company. Contact the shop today and they inform me that the manufacturers are not willing to cover any repair costs. Can you please advise me where I stand, as I would have expected the TV screen to have lasted longer than 2 years?
Oh, definitely.
Dan.
I mean, two-year-old telly, €1,200. I'd expect it to last a lot longer than 2 years.
6 years anyway.
At least, yes. I mean, with the lifespan, and 6 to 8 years should be the average lifespan for electrical goods. I mean, go back to the shop under the Sale of Goods Supply Service Act. It's their responsibility to remedy the situation for you, be it a repair or replacement. Now, if they say it's not repairable, I would look for a replacement.
Yeah, well, replace it for me.
Yeah.
They said, but we haven't got one just like that.
Well, something of equal value,
I've heard Dermot actually say as well on these things, something of equal value, but if there was another telly that was...
slightly dearer.
And you fancied it.
Yeah, pay the difference. Yeah, if that's what you wish.